Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Timberwolf was one deal. They sold that deal. How much of that deal did you sell? You didn't tell them you thought it was a deal. You knew it was a deal, and that's what your people knew it was a deal. Does that bother you at all? Your top priority to sell is that deal. Okay, you're trying to sell a deal, and it's your top priority. Be trying to sell a deal. Who did use that term? Who's Tom Mantaugh? Who's Daniel Sparks?
That's me.
Boy, that Timberwolf is one.
All right, let's turn. What we're doing is listening to one of the lowest senators in human history, a gutter rat named Carl Levin, who is oh so tough on Goldman Sachs, but is covering up the Fort Hood massacre by the Muslim major Hassan, who it turns out today was an agent of Al Qaeda. The U.S. Army is covering it up. The Justice Department is covering it up. But most importantly, this low life fraud, Senator Carl Levin, who's oh so tough with Goldman Sachs. Attacking men in gray flannel suits has nothing to say about men with hoods on their heads. Go Goldman Go is today's show. Until today, by the way, I never thought I'd have sympathy for Wall Street. But when I turned on the TV today, I couldn't stop watching Carl Levin of Michigan looking down his long nose at Goldman Sachs executives while viciously smearing them in public. I thought about this and I said, wow, it can't get any worse than this. And then it did. There came the shrill Claire McCaskill of Missouri, who began gesturing and screaming at them. Now, look, I've been critical of Goldman Sachs and Wall Street in the past, and they certainly need some controls. But by the way, they should have been quizzing Bonnie Frank about him forcing banks to give mortgages to unqualified illegal aliens and some minorities who could not qualify for loans, but who were threatened by Bonnie Frank. And so that's one of the reasons we had a housing meltdown, was because of the government itself. Why are Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac executives not being called to testify? Huh? But their old Levin, the big brave man with his glasses, got up in front of the committee and said, we're going to stay here until we get the answers that we need. But where is Levin, the chairman of the Armed Services Committee, when it comes to getting answers on the Fort Hood massacre? So far, Levin has refused to hold any hearings about the Fort Hood massacre. Levin might be willing to use his gutter language to attack low-level Wall Street functionaries at Goldman Sachs, but he's not willing to look into the most deadly act of terrorism on American soil since 9/11. And then the Harridan Claire McCaskill attacking these men with such strange street language that it seemed to me that she might have been born in a St. Louis betting shop. I happen to have been cheering for the Goldman Sachs guys today. They are financial geniuses and, frankly, no more criminal than the congressional lowlives trying to crucify them. Did you know that McCaskill was married to a man who was later murdered in his own car? She's also a lifetime political corruption queen, in my opinion. Now, she and others may accuse Goldman Sachs of crooked financial deals, but let me ask you a question. Treasury bills, the kind of fiduciary instrument the U.S. government puts out, T-bills, aren't these a form of financial instrument built on quicksand? Are you telling me that Carl Levin and Claire McCaskill can assure us that T-bills are backed up by something more fundamental than hot air? The bottom line is that these Goldman Sachs executives may have been working in a dishonest system or a rigged system, but frankly, they were doing their job, which is to make money for their shareholders. It seems to me that the job of gargoyles like Levin and McCaskill is to take money, not make money. I'm Michael Savage, and I agree that Goldman Sachs is innocent. I think that Levin and McCaskill should have been quizzed by a real Justice Department. How about you? Let's start with you, Nick, on the Savage Nation. Nick, did you watch these hearings today in New York?
Yeah, no. Michael?
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, there's three things here with Goldman. One,
They claim they lost $1 billion, okay, on the mortgage. What they're not telling you, which is normal, at the same time, they were making billions of dollars on the short end of it.
We understand that, Nick, but isn't it strange that the U.S. government is quizzing them when the U.S. government puts out T-bills which have no fiduciary solid base to it?
It's the exact same thing as the derivatives with Sandra put out there when he was on the Mercantile Exchange.
Are you able to hear a word I'm saying, or are you only sending, Nick?
Okay, go. What did you say? Go on.
What do you mean, what is this that I said? What is it, you couldn't hear me?
No, I'm sorry, I couldn't. Michael, I have your radio on. My apologies.
All right, let's start again. Don't you think the government is putting out a false fiduciary instrument in the form of a T-bill, which has no gold backing it up? It's the same thing as the same kind of derivative instrument that Goldman Sachs is putting out. How different is the government putting out an instrument with no backing to it and trading in it, by the way?
It's an absurdity. It's an absurdity, same as the Federal Reserve that made $55 billion.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So why aren't they putting Geithner on the stand? Why aren't they putting Bonnie Frank on the stand, who caused the housing collapse by forcing banks to give loans to minorities and illegal aliens to buy houses that they couldn't afford? And when they couldn't make the payments, the whole bubble collapsed. Yeah, you could say Goldman Sachs is responsible. So is the U.S. government. So is Bonnie Frank. So is Fannie Mae. So is Freddie Mac. Why only Goldman Sachs?
No, Michael, because Goldman Sachs took over. When they got rid of Lehman Brothers and they got rid of Bear Stearns, the balance of power with Washington changed. And Goldman took the balance of power. It's the exact same thing.
You mean, so Goldman Sachs is the only villain in this housing bubble collapse?
They're not the only...
How about everyone listening to this show who bought and sold any property in the last 7 years and made a profit and spent it? Are they also not in some way responsible for the housing bubble? They were sure happy to flip a house. There were shows on TV, flip this house. Every schmuck listening to this show went and bought a condo and thought they were a genius because they sold it for $50,000 more a year later. But what about that profit? Why don't they give that back? What do you want, only Goldman Sachs? See, there's a problem here. You're making Goldman Sachs the scapegoat, and I'll tell you why. Because the names are Jewish. Shall I make that even clearer? Goldman Jewish, Sachs Jewish. This is a repeat of history. Why don't you go after Bonnie Frank? Why don't you go after Freddie Mae? Why don't you go after Fannie Mae? Why don't you go after Christopher Cox, the head of the SEC? There are many, many other people who could be called up there, but they only picked on Goldman Sachs. And believe me, I've been critical of them because the name Goldman is Jewish and the name Sachs is Jewish. And this is a repeat of the same kind of demagoguery that we saw back in the 1930s. That's my opinion. New York City, WOR, Tom, what do you think? Welcome to the Savage Nation.
God bless you, Michael. You've said it before. It's a show trial. They're going to hang some file clerk. They're kicking up a lot of dust. They're using their filthy language. And in the meantime, credit default swaps and collateralized mortgage obligations, it was all based on a fraud, Michael, a phony housing market.
Right. But I'm saying everybody listening to this show who bought a condominium or a house in the last 5 to 8 years, who made a profit, should they also not be ashamed of the housing bubble collapse? Did they not benefit from it?
Yeah, but Michael, that was market value, which was phony and false. You can't.
That's exactly my point. In other words, the house really didn't go up in value. It was a fake value. What about every realtor listening to this show who made 6% on every flip? What about the engorgement of the value of a property simply from real estate commissions? Every time it sold, it went up 6%. You sell it twice in a year, the price went up 12%, so the real estate broker can make 12%. What about that money? Should they return it as well?
Well, it's the correct...
What about Bonnie Frank? Why is Bonnie Frank not before a congressional committee? He forced the banks to give loans to unqualified minorities and unqualified illegal aliens, by the way, so they can buy houses because it was a human right to own a house, according to Bonnie Frank, communist. I'll be right back.
Savage.
We are talking about the show trial, the Soviet-era show trial that was conducted today by Carl Levin of Michigan and Claire McCaskill and other fraudulent Democrats trying to show that they care about Main Street, not Wall Street. But what you don't know is the hypocrisy of Levin and Claire McCaskill, I think, supersedes the hearings themselves. Do you know that between 2005 and 2010, Levin received the following donations? Cerberus Capital Management gave him $35,000. That's small potatoes. And lawyers and law firms gave him $787,000. Now, what about Claire McCaskill, the shrew with the gutter mouth? Between 2005 and 2010, Claire McCaskill, who put on a performance today that was worthy of that of the Ukraine, received $523,000 from Emily's List, the far-left women's group, and lawyers and law firms gave McCaskill $1.5 million. Now, why would lawyers and law firms give both Levin and McCaskill, these two frauds, so much money? Let's listen to Claire McCaskill, who, to me, when she talks about illegal betting pools and bookies and VIG, sounds to me like she knows a little too much about the business. Listen.
Depending on whether you're betting in an office pool that's illegal or whether you're betting in Las Vegas, the VIG is going to vary anywhere from 5 to 10%. Generally speaking, and I don't know who the right person is to ask this, what is your VIG, Mr. Sparks, on these deals? What is the VIG you make, assuming all you're doing, not playing in the market, but all you're doing is trying to stay close to home like a bookie would try to do in order to minimize their risk?
Now, how does Claire McCaskill know so much about vigorish and bookies, I wonder? We don't know the answer to that, but she's a sitting U.S. senator, if you can believe it. She comes from Missouri, and she comes from a very distinguished family in Missouri. Her father was in politics. Her mother was in politics. She was married to David Exposito, with whom she had three children. Additionally, from her marriage to Exposito, she had three stepchildren. The couple divorced in 1995 while McCaskill was Jackson County prosecutor, and sadly, Exposito, the ex-husband, was found murdered in Kansas City, Kansas, on December 12, 2005. Then, in April of 2002, actually prior to that, McCaskill married St. Louis businessman Joseph Shepard. Now, from her marriage to Shepard, she has four stepchildren. Did you know that her husband, Shepard, loaned $1.6 million to McCaskill's 2004 gubernatorial campaign and also had business interests in the nursing home industry? So, you know, it reminds me of a movie that I heard when I was a kid. I can't remember the name of the movie, but in it, the lead character says, "You all have larceny in your hearts." I think it was Edgar G. Robinson. I don't remember the movie. But in other words, he says to everybody in a room one day, he says, "You all have larceny in your hearts." Are you telling me that Levin and McCaskill are clean as the driven snow and the Goldman Sachs guys are as dirty as coal? I don't believe it. I believe that the whole system is dirty one way or another. I think, frankly, that we're all greedy. I think that human beings are out for themselves. I think we're all out to make as quick a buck as we can with as little work as possible, whether you're a cop taking a fat pension with a fake disability or a fireman who never lifted a hose who wants to collect $500,000 when you retire, never having lifted a hose or never lifted a ladder. Everybody has larceny in their hearts. So to sit here and say Goldman Sachs, they're just smarter than you are. They're smarter and they're faster. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't think that there should be controls put back, and there should be. I've talked for years about the Glass-Steagall Act that Bill Clinton removed. Yes, that's right. Your good friend, the good, honest man, Mr. Cheeseburger himself, Bill Clinton, removed the Glass-Steagall Act, which opened up the floodgates. And then Bush went a step further and kicked down the doors of all controls entirely. Yes, we need controls put back on Wall Street, but don't single out Goldman Sachs. Call in Barney Frank. Ask Barney Frank why he forced banks to give loans to unqualified minorities and unqualified illegal aliens who shouldn't even be in the country to begin with. I'm Michael Savage. This trial is a shame. It has taken America down to the level of the Ukraine. Samantha, New York, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
And it's also a wasting of taxpayers' money. Yes, there should be control, and everyone should be sitting in that, should be on television today. Not only Gold Sachs, and just like you said, it's showboating, hypocrisy.
Yeah, well, it's showboating, and I thank you very much. Let's go to another side of the country. San Diego, Kevin, go ahead. You're up on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Mike, I'm one of those guys that made a couple $100,000 on, you know, a house, made some profit, so I guess I'm a little teeny tiny Goldman Sachs myself, but...
well, you should have been called up by Carl Levin today.
I should have. I should be doing hard time really soon. But the reason...
You're an evil capitalist, Kevin, because you actually put your capital into something without knowing the outcome, and you benefited from it. That's evil, according to Levin, isn't it?
I took a risk and benefited from it, but... what I'm seeing now is that the way the government is printing money, I'm going to lose about 50 to 70% of the value of my assets in inflation in the years to come.
Well, but you're in San Diego. If you wait long enough, Mexico will simply absorb San Diego with a little help from Obama, and then you'll lose everything.
Yeah, but I'll have...
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Levin, the head of the Senate Armed Services Committee. The man sounds like he would need a box of Depends if someone set off a backfire in a car going by him. And the man won't investigate the Fort Hood massacre. How come he's blocking any emails about the Fort Hood massacre? Do you know that he will not release any information about the Fort Hood massacre by Senator Hassan, the Muslim major who slaughtered 13 and shot 30 others? Eric Holder, the head of the Justice Department, who's going to investigate the citizens of the state of Arizona for passing an Immigration Reform Act, making sure that gangbangers can't run wild in the streets of Arizona, the very same Eric Holder who's going to investigate a sovereign state for protecting its citizens, will not release emails showing anything about the Fort Hood massacre. What does that tell you? It tells you that there's a lot of problems in this government, to say it in a nice way. That's what it tells you. Anyway, I never thought the day would come that I would watch a hearing with guys from Wall Street where I would sit there cheering for Goldman Sachs. Never. I never thought I would see myself saying, go, guys, go. They were so much smarter than these senators who were trying to grill them. Here are guys 29, 30 years old. Admittedly, what did they make? Tens, hundreds of millions of dollars? You could say some of it was done through chicanery. Some of it was done through false fiduciary instruments. But then you have to ask yourself, how different it is than the U.S. government itself, I'd like to know. The U.S. government doesn't even have to come up with a clever fiduciary instrument to make hundreds of millions of dollars. In fact, Barack Obama can make billions of dollars simply by printing it. Or, you want to go a step further? Let me ask you something. I'll bring it up again. T-bills. Are they built upon a house of sand or upon a house of gold? T-bills, as you well know, are treasury bills. Can we really guarantee that there's anything backing them up? So how different is a T-bill from what was Goldman Sachs was doing? Can you explain that to me? This is the Savage Nation. Wake up.
Savage.
Goldman Sachs proclaims, quote, a responsibility to our clients, our shareholders, our employees, and our communities to support and fund ideas and facilitate growth. Yet the evidence shows that Goldman repeatedly put its own interests and profits ahead of the interests of its clients. Goldman profited while the market dropped.
This low-life Senator Carl Levin of Michigan really gets me sick for a number of reasons. The primary reason is that here is the man, the head of the Senate Armed Services Committee, and he is blocking any hearings into the Fort Hood massacre. Now, remember, Major Hassan, the Muslim Major Hassan, killed 13 people in cold blood, as well as injuring 30 other people. Carl Levin is blocking hearings. Carl Levin will not release emails. The Department of the Army will not release emails. The Justice Department will not release emails. And yet, here we have a hearing about some shenanigans on Wall Street, admittedly a big problem. And here he is, the brave Levin, opening up a hearing and condemning the witnesses before they even spoke. I have never heard of a Senate hearing where the witnesses were condemned to the gallows before they even appeared to give a statement. I believe that Levin should step down for having shown absolutely no regard for the office of a U.S. senator. Now, for him to say that Goldman profited while the market dropped is laughable. The U.S. government profited while the market dropped. The U.S. government puts its own interests ahead of the interests of their clients, the American people. Here he is sitting on his high horse saying that Goldman Sachs repeatedly put their own interests ahead of the interests of their clients. Well, ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation, let me ask you something. Are we not the clients of the U.S. government? I know that we're supposed to be the boss of the government, but we all know that that's crap. We all know that they work for us, but they don't. But literally, aren't they supposed to put the interests of the American people ahead of the interests of their own self or their own party? How often has Levin done that? I would say that Levin continuously puts the interests of his Democrat party ahead of the interests of his clients, the voters. He just did it with the health care plan. He does it every day of his life. So to me, this was a Soviet-era Stalinist show trial. It's unbelievable to me to watch a thing like this, but at a certain point, I didn't even get angry. I didn't get angry because what I saw were very intelligent men, maybe 1,000 times smarter than their interrogators, being quizzed by low-life idiots. It was the lowbrows quizzing the highbrows. And frankly, it became comedic after a certain point. Chicago, Milan, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
The same idiots, Michael, who are questioning these guys, can't spell the word derivative, ranting and raving about going making money on a fraudulent market our government created on the liberal belief that owning a home is a right. They gave no money down loans, interest-only loans.
No money down loans and interest-free loans to non-citizen, illegal alien Hispanics to pander to them and to minorities who couldn't afford them. And it was forced down their throats by Barney Frank.
They just sit there and they do this over and over again. I watch these people and they went off in the Bush administration and war crimes and everything else. I'm Serbian, Michael. Where are the war crimes for Clinton? Where were they for Albright, Holbrook, and the things they did to my country?
Well, you mean when they killed over 2,400 innocent Serbs in hospitals, in jails, in nursing homes, in children's homes, and they blew up every bridge on the Danube? You mean that war crime?
Oh, but they seem to forget that one. Boy, I can't remember what the Serbian people did to the U.S. people for them to bomb us. But you're the only voice out there, Mike. I guarantee you come to Chicago, my mother from the old country will make you a meal, and you'll have every Serbian in Chicago here waiting for you for what you've done.
Well, God bless them, because I don't know how their hearts can be put together again after what Bill Clinton did to the Serbian community. They committed war crimes. Bill Clinton committed a war crime by smashing Serbia. It was a violation of every rule in the book. Don't get me started on what he did to the Serbian people. I don't want to go into that one. Please, if you don't mind, it was a terrible, terrible thing to witness this war crime that Bill Clinton conducted. But you'll notice there were no hearings on the war crimes conducted by Bill Clinton and by Jamie Rubin and by Madeleine Albright and by Wesley Clark, the great general. I remember things, my friend. I remember all of this, Milan. But let's talk about this fraud, Carl Levin of Michigan. You're in Chicago, is that correct? You're in Illinois. How does Carl Levin hold on to his job being such a doofus?
Well, you know, the same way Barack Obama got his job here in the U.S. Senate and then president. I'm a true believer that the American electorate is very, very, very poor. I talk to people saying, vote for change. Well, how can you do that when half the people here can't even point out where Washington, D.C. is on a map? How do you do that when you talk to liberals who vote for Obama? You talk to people, liberals who voted for Obama. I ask them, why you vote for him? For change. What does that mean? I just want change.
Well, let me ask you something. Now, why are there so many illegal alien Hispanics in the Chicago area that the former president of Mexico, the big one, the over 6'5" guy, came on a white horse to Chicago? I forget his name. The former Coca-Cola executive. When he came to America, he rode a white horse down the main street of Chicago because the illegal aliens love him. Why are there so many illegal aliens in Chicago? Was it the meatpacking industry originally that employed them?
You know, the meatpacking industry actually brought in a lot of people from Europe, and especially the steel industry. With regards to illegal aliens, well, obviously, I'm only 43. But when I own a construction...
Because we have a meatpacking industry in San Francisco, but I don't know that that it's related to illegal aliens. I mean, I think it's indigenously supported. Thank you for the call. 1-800-449-8255. Mississippi Joe, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, Michael, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, Michael, I've noticed you seem to be saying that, okay, the government's culpable, and therefore we shouldn't worry so much about what Goldman Sachs did because, hey, after all, the government did it even worse. Let me ask you this. If you have 100 criminals, 99 of which are murderers, and one of which is a rapist, do you let the rapists go because, hey, the murderers were a whole lot worse?
Well, none of these parties are murderers or rapists. But tell me, who is the biggest con artist in the world? Is it not the U.S. government itself? And for these executives of the U.S. government to sit up there on their high horse and make believe that Goldman Sachs is all evil and they're all good is nonsense. They're just trying to play to the poorest of the poor and the lowest of the low. They're appealing to the lowest of the common denominator. Why don't they hold hearings on what Barney Frank did, forcing banks to give loans to unqualified minorities? Where's that hearing? We've been waiting for it for years, Joe.
They're going after Goldman Sachs because it's clear that Goldman Sachs lied to investors about what would happen with these mortgage-backed securities. I mean, what?
Well, that's one position. But I will bet you, and I'll make this bet publicly on the air, that nobody is indicted as a result of these hearings, because these brilliant guys at Goldman Sachs, whether you like them or hate them, did everything within the tenets of the law. They did not break the law. And the reason they didn't break the law is because they changed the rules before they involved themselves in these instruments of trading. And the reason they were able to change the trading rules is because they bought cheap tricks called congressmen to do their bidding for them in changing the rules. Is that clear enough?
Civil charges against them. They've already besmirched their name. They're going down for this. And I'll tell you something else.
Tell you something else, Joe. You're an anti-Semite and you hate Jews. That's why you hate Goldman Sachs. Isn't that true, Mr. Joe?
Hey, come on.
Joe, what? You're not a Caucasian American. You probably have some kind of Germanic ancestry. Isn't that true, Joe?
Research what Goldman
Joe, said. Don't you really harbor ill feelings towards anyone named Goldman? Joe, don't you really hate anybody with a Jewish surname, Joe? See, we didn't play what you said during the break, but I know what you said, and I know that you're just a diehard Jew hater, aren't you, Joe? What happened, Joe? You disappeared, Joe? See, I'm telling you, we had to listen to some of his insults to Jews during the break, and you didn't hear it. But this man, brethren, in the Germany of the 1930s. Now, again, I'll repeat it again. I'll repeat it till you finally hear me. I'll repeat it till you finally hear me. This is demagoguery of the lowest kind. They're trying to crucify Goldman Sachs to make believe that they really care about the little guy on Main Street. They're trying to crucify some guys on Wall Street. Oh, really? Well, why don't you go to the former last Treasury Secretary, Hank Paulson? How come he's never been investigated to this extent? After all, he was the Treasury Secretary. Why has he not been investigated? Where is he? How come he's not being called upon? Why are these junior executives being crucified? I'll let you figure that one out. Now let's go on to the callers. I'll ask everyone listening to the show, did any of you buy or sell a property between the years 2005 and 2008? Did you make money between 2005 and 2009 on any house or condominium you may have bought? Many of you thought you were Donald Trump Jr. because you bought a condo for $150 and sold it for $179 a year later. Some of you thought you were real geniuses because you bought a house for $1.5 and you sold it for $2.9. 2 years later, you thought you were Donald Trump. You probably spent that money. Should you return that money? You benefited from the housing bubble. Right now, of course, if you're holding one of those houses, you can't sell it. So you're not benefiting from it. That's called capitalism. It's called up and down, down and up. But apparently Carl Levin doesn't understand capitalism. He only understands crony senatorism. He only understands that if he wants to get some money, he goes to lawyers and law firms and he gets $780,000. Or he goes to Cerberus Capital Management, he gets $35,000. And Claire McCaskill gets $1.5 million between 05 and 10 from lawyers and law firms. What did they want from her? What was their investment for? Why did Emily's List give her $523,000? This system is corrupt. There is no pure system in the world. There never has been. There never will be. Why? Because man is a corrupt animal. We are fallen angels. We do not live in a perfect world. And there is nothing more dangerous than imperfect senators trying to pretend that there's a perfect world that they can create through socialism. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Reverend Sharpton, there are calls to boycott Arizona, and you are a part of that. Is that the next logical step here to put pressure?
Oh, absolutely. I think that you got to deal with the fact that when you have a law that profiles people, let's face it, you can say whatever you want. When they're saying there's an enormous amount of people coming across the border from Mexico, they're really saying, therefore, we're going to stop people that look like Mexicans to check their
There is the great social genius, the great societal genius, Al Sharpton, a man with a sterling background, going all the way back to Freddy's Fashion Mart and other places such as that. We still don't know where he got his divinity degree from. We've been checking for 15 years. No one will answer the question. But let's put aside that they all call him reverend as though he's actually a reverend with such reverence that you'd think he was the Pope himself. We know that he's a street hustler. There's Sharpton saying he's going to boycott Arizona because the people finally spoke. Well, I would dare say that I would think that the Home Depots of Arizona can now stop carrying bullhorns, and there can be other such changes in the state of Arizona. Now that we know that Al Sharpton won't be going there, I think they could stop stocking bullhorns, for example. Now let's listen to this insanity in 17.
If you were in another part of the country and said that a number of Polish or a number of Irish people disobeyed the law, therefore you're going to therefore stop Polish people, it would be profiling. We cannot have laws based on race.
So the man is saying that the nation is being overrun by Polish and Irish drug peddlers? That it's Polish and Irish drug peddlers selling black tar heroin across America. It's Polish and Irish immigrants who have flooded America. It's Polish and Irish immigrants who have broken the borders. It's Polish and Irish immigrants who are shooting cops in Arizona. It's Polish and Irish who are destroying hospitals and schools across America. It's Polish and Irish who are obliterating our healthcare system. How can you listen to a man like Al Sharpton with any seriousness unless you work for General Electric? It gets worse in 18.
What it does is it strengthens the fact that you can now, by state law, if this stands, profile people. And that all a policeman has to say is that I went over there because I felt this person was suspect. And it's based on who they are. Even many conservatives.
Oh, wait a minute. Excuse me. If I could ask the reverend the question, who is it who's coming across the border in the greatest numbers violating our immigration laws? Is it Polish? Are they Irish? Are they Russian? Are they Chinese? They're Mexican. Everybody knows that, but Al Sharpton. What I find amazing to me, and here's the most outrageous part, is that blacks themselves are not outraged at Al Sharpton for doing this, because it was poor blacks in particular who have lost most of the low-level jobs to illegal aliens, by the way. And your government, your U.S. government, gave out over 1 million green cards last year when they shouldn't have given out any. There are millions of unemployed Americans. Why were the Americans not given the jobs instead of whether they were illegal aliens from Mexico or immigrants from anywhere else? Why is our government still giving out green cards is the bigger issue. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. We're still talking about the Soviet-era show trial of Goldman Sachs today by losers like Levin and by McCaskill, the Sterling senator from Missouri. And the question is, why are they doing this? Well, it's pretty obvious that they're not doing a hearing on the Fort Hood massacre because they'd have to show that the U.S. Army itself is culpable. Levin is the head of the Armed Services Committee. If Levin held hearings on the Fort Hood massacre, which have been called for, by the way, by Lieberman, if the Fort Hood massacre had a hearing like this, and Levin had gotten up, or someone had gotten up and said right off the bat to the Secretary of the Army, the reason there were murders at Fort Hood, Secretary of the Army, is because you permitted a Muslim major to be moved up because you were afraid of attacking Muslims. Now, what do you think would happen in this country if he actually said a thing like that? You'd finally get some truth, wouldn't you? People don't like the truth, but they sure like lies. So again, when you lie and you say it was only Goldman Sachs, and believe me, I have been as critical of Goldman Sachs. In fact, I was more critical of Goldman Sachs than anybody in the media before you even heard of the words Goldman and Sachs. I was pointing out some of the shenanigans of Goldman Sachs. But on the other hand, to see them singled out is absurd. Barney Frank should be given a hearing. Why did Barney Frank force the banks to give mortgages to unqualified minorities and unqualified illegal aliens? That's the question, my friend, but you're never going to get an answer to that. Never. Chicago, Marty, welcome to the program. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Michael, this is Marty from Chicago. Let me tell you something about this Carl Levin and his brother. I know for a fact, a great friend of mine, he owns, and his brother and his company, the Habitat Company, own more property, rental property, in the state of Michigan than anybody in the whole state of Michigan. Carl Levin and his brother, the Habitat Company, is owned by Carl Levin and his brother. And nobody knows this. All they do is they just buy a property and they sell it. I have no idea.
So Levin is a major league property owner in the state of Michigan, what, under a silent partnership with his brother?
Yes.
And what's the name of the company, Marty, you're alleging that he owns?
The Habitat Company.
The Habitat Company. Well, you know what, Marty? I think maybe you've triggered an investigation about Carl Levin's putative involvement in a major real estate company in the state of Michigan, and maybe that will help us understand why he's angry at Goldman Sachs.
And then they get financing from where? They just buy and sell property, and I'm telling you, I know for a fact that this is what I know.
All right, well, we're going to look into it, Marty. Thanks for the tip. That's what makes radio so valuable. Beowulf, let's look it up and see if we can have it for the people for the next hour. You know, that would really be good. 1-800-449-8255. Steve in New York, welcome to the Savage Nation. WOR calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, one of the things that nobody's pointing out about this Arizona bill is that not only are Mexicans coming across the border, I know personally that I have men who work for me who are now legal who are from Poland, the Czech, all over the world, Russia, China. They said when they came across the border, they came across with thousands of people from all over the world. So it's not just being picking on Mexicans. It's upholding the laws of this country that are keeping these people out.
So you actually agree in a way with Al Sharpton that America's being overrun by Poles and Russians, not by Mexicans?
No. What I'm saying,
the next time I go to a restaurant, I'll talk to the dishwasher in Polish or Russian. I'll bring a Polish, Russian, English dictionary. I'm just joking. You know, and I both know that people have a right to pass their own laws. We live in a nation that has states. The states have sovereignty, and they are doing what the U.S. government has failed to do. And for Obama to say that he's going to override the people shows you that he's a tyrant. He is Junior Doc Duvalier Obama. It's Obama behind all of this. He's the reason that they're getting away with this, that a street hustler like Sharpton is even taken seriously.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Another part of the country and said that a number of Polish or a number of Irish people have disobeyed the law, therefore you're going to therefore stop Polish people, it would be profiling. We cannot have laws based on race.
Yeah, well, the fact of the matter is the nation is not being overrun by Irish or Polish. It's being overrun by illegal aliens, primarily from Mexico. So, of course, this is an example of the illogic of the folks who get on MSNBC. So we're talking about the Arizona law and how good it is finally that a state stood up to the illegitimate actions of the federal government. And we're talking about the illegitimate government trying to make Goldman Sachs into the only illegitimate player in the world of finance. Now, I have criticized Goldman Sachs for years, long before you even heard of Goldman Sachs. I was criticizing some of the things I saw going on. But when I watched the hearings today, I had sympathy for Goldman and I was saying, go, Goldman, go. In fact, when I watched Levin and I watched McCaskill, and I watched them conducting Soviet-style smear tactics in public, I started cheering for the Goldman executives. I saw young guys who were brilliant compared to these Lilliputians, and frankly, I changed my mind. I really think that Carl Levin should be holding hearings on the Fort Hood massacre because he is the chairman of the Armed Services Committee, and yet he won't even release emails which clearly show that the U.S. Army knew that Hassan was dangerous, knew that Hassan was an activist, knew that Hassan was answering to people in Al-Qaeda, and they covered up for him, and they kept moving him up the chain. So there are many, many problems with this show trial of Goldman Sachs, particularly the gutter language being used today by Levin, and the strange, bizarre talk about bookies and vigorish by Claire McCaskill makes you think she was born in a St. Louis betting shop. Yes, there is a need for financial reform, but you don't have to be a genius to know how far you want it to go. nor do you have to be a genius to understand that it's Obama behind this, trying to gain control over yet another organ of capitalism. Obama would like even more power in his hands. He's not happy with having taken over 1/6 of the economy. He's not happy with having destroyed NASA. He's not happy with having destroyed the U.S. military. Now he wants to destroy Wall Street. The fact of the matter is, we cannot permit this president to grab any more power, yet we still need to remember that rules need to be put back in place that were in place until Bill Clinton removed them, setting off the Wild West on Wall Street, and that would be the Glass-Steagall Act. In fact, one day I'll talk about it again. Just know that there were rules, they were in place, they need to be put back, they don't have to invent new rules, and there's no reason to pass any more power up to the executive branch. End of story. I see it clearly. It's the Savage Nation. There's a story on Michael Savage I want to direct your attention to. It's the beautiful story of a matador getting gored and then needing 17 pints of blood because the brave, heroic bull had finally had enough, and he gored this cretin in tights. And my headline is very clear. See tortured bull, gore sadistic matador, and I say end bullfighting, an Arab custom. Many of you think that bullfighting is a Spanish custom, but if you actually traced it back, it goes back to the bloodthirsty days of the Arabs. As you well know, the Arabs are no longer bloodthirsty. In fact, they're very nice, kind people who believe in peace and harmony and all religions getting along. But in the old days of Arab conquest, they were into blood sports, and they loved bullfighting because they loved butchery in the ring. And so they introduced bullfighting into Spain, which you now think is a Spanish sport. I say end bullfighting. Don't call me on it. 1-800-449-8255. Let's take calls on Wall Street and, of course, Main Street. Main Street is being overrun by illegal aliens. Wall Street is being overrun by criminals. New York City, WOR, Danielle, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind today?
Well, I wanted to add, I had bought an apartment and sold and then bought a house within the years of 2002-2009. So I want to put the American people on the stand, not just Goldman Sachs.
All right, maybe you should be indicted for having made a profit, because profit-making is part of capitalism. Capitalism is now a crime, according to the Obama government.
Well, you know what? I want to give an example. My brother went to buy a house in 2002 for $400,000. He had 10% to put down, and he applied for a loan for $360,000 at the bank. The bank turned around, assessed the house, and said, "I'm sorry, the house is not worth $360,000. It's worth $330,000. We're only giving you $330,000." So he turned around to the sellers and said, "Look, can we negotiate here? The bank says your house is not worth the price."
All right, so what was the bottom line? What happened?
The bottom line is the seller said, "We'll go to a credit union or you lose the house." And my brother walked away and said goodbye. But I knew a lot of people in those situations that were so thirsty for these houses at these market prices that they got three loans, one from a bank, one from a credit union.
Well, but if they were illegal aliens, they could have gotten any loan they wanted simply by screaming racism.
Right, they could have, but
all they had to do was say they were an illegal alien and they were Hispanic, and they would have gotten a loan because the bank would have been afraid of being sued by one of Bonnie Frank's friends. Thanks for the call. 1-800-449-8255. The truth hurts. It's not popular. It has to be said. Otherwise, you live in a dreamland. That's all. Orlando, Florida. Tom, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage. Great to get on the line here. I totally agree with you that corruption is the great definition for the Goldman Sachs, but there's no distinction really between Goldman and the government. They're one and the same thing. Goldman's not a capitalist enterprise anymore. It's a lost side socialist enterprise. It's a government-sponsored enterprise, and we're footing the bill. The Fed gives them the money at zero cost, and when they lose...
Yeah, well,
the
what's interesting is they had hearings on Goldman Sachs, but none of them raised the real issue was, when did Goldman Sachs cease being a privately held investment bank and become a commercial bank? The answer was it was done in the dark of night over a weekend in November of 2000, I believe, and 8, when Hank Paulson did this without any congressional oversight whatsoever. And the reason Goldman Sachs was made into a commercial bank was so that they could be bailed out by the U.S. government. Am I correct about that?
Absolutely. And now they're one and the same, hand in glove. This is an internal show trial.
Guess Carl Levin may be unhappy that he didn't get enough of a kickback from Goldman Sachs. That could be the only reason he's calling them on the carpet, because it doesn't make any sense to me. There are many guilty parties, Tom. Thanks for the call. 1-800-449-8255. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Ed, you're next up. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Tom's point leads into my point. How can we be certain
that Goldman isn't in on this whole show trial, and this whole facade is just rigged.
Well, what do you mean in on it? In what sense?
That they're cooperating with the government. That in some future date, Goldman will benefit. They'll have some sort of a.
Yeah, but do you actually think that this is like the Enron hearings and that somebody's actually going to go to jail for 20 years? I don't believe that.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that this is just all rigged, and it's programmed, and it's scripted. And some date in the future, Goldman will have some prize at the end of this trial.
Well, their stock went up today, actually. Did you see that?
Yeah, no, I didn't see that.
The interesting part is that all of this attention on Goldman Sachs, their stock rose today. Go figure that one out. How'd that happen?
Insider stuff.
Goldman shares rose today while Levin was calling the S word out over and over during a Senate hearing. The Dow dropped over 200 points, but Goldman ended higher. How is that possible? How is it possible they would go up while everyone else went down? I don't know. Maybe Levin has the answer to it. It could be that Levin made a very smart bet this morning. Maybe he went long on Goldman rather than short. Maybe everybody went short and he went long. We don't know. Thanks for the call. Maybe there's some insider trading from the senators in the hearing group between their relatives that we should look into. Good luck. New York City, WOR. John, you have a different opinion. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you that these guys probably didn't break the law and all that, but what they did was still wrong. It's their intention. It's the truth of the matter is that they were corrupt, and even if the government is corrupt and does the same thing, these guys still got to be accountable for it.
Okay, what did they actually do that was criminal? That's what I'd like to know.
Well, they shook up the whole system. Look at the result. Look what's happened.
Well, but you're saying that they are the scapegoat for the collapse of the entire housing bubble. Are you sure of that?
But it's their actions. Well, apparently the government thinks so.
Well, the government? You mean the government that fed Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac trillions of dollars? You mean the government of Bonnie Frank that forced banks to give loans to illegal aliens and minorities who could not qualify for mortgages so they could have a house? That's as criminal as Goldman Sachs.
Well, yeah, but still, these guys still have to be held accountable, you know, and they still have to be investigated. Should they be considered guilty before they're investigated? No, but they should be investigated.
Well, they are being investigated, but I'm making a supposition here that none of them will be found guilty of having committed a crime. And that is because, let me repeat why I say that. Yes, they were playing wild and free because the rules had been changed permitting them to do so. The reason that happened is because Goldman bought senators and congressmen to change the rules to permit them to do this legally. And therefore, none of them are actually legally culpable. The real guilty parties here are all of us, because everyone listening to this show who invested in any property and made any profit during those go-go years, frankly, is as guilty as any of these guys, but didn't have the brains or the guts that the Goldman traders had. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Wall Street, Main Street, Main Street, Wall Street. Get Wall Street, think Main Street. Think Main Street, get Wall Street. It's all a show trial. You have to ask yourself, why Goldman Sachs? Why not George Soros? Why not Soros' derivative trading? Why not Soros' hedge fund? Why not Soros' currency trading? Why not the man who bet against the Bank of England and almost broke the Bank of England? Why not the man who bet against the Malaysian currency and almost broke the Malaysian currency? Why not the man who... wanted to break George Bush's presidency. And why? Everything's political. So don't fall for the charade here that it's all Goldman Sachs. Again, let me be clear. Long before anybody in the major media, I was mentioning Goldman Sachs over 2 years ago. You know that. And we do need the Glass-Steagall Act put back, as well as some other reform steps put back. We don't need any more power accrued to Barack Hussein Obama. Remember what the end goal here. The end goal is to grab more of this capitalist system in the hands of the executive branch. Watch out for it. Now, one of the things that we have to look at is the profit motive itself. We understand that the profit motive right now is suspect because we have a Leninist Marxist running the United States of America, and Marxist Leninists everywhere saying the profit motive itself is what's at fault. Where do people spend their money when they make big money? They buy fancy yachts, fancy houses, fancy cars. They spend $30,000 for dinner at a restaurant. They buy wine that costs $6,000 a bottle. Well, that's true. From the beginning of time, people who made windfall profits spent it in windfall ways. And a list came out of the world's 50 best restaurants. I'm going to change it just slightly for the moment because I looked at it. I was stunned again by what goes on in my world, whether it's Wall Street or congressional hearings. Or how could the best restaurant in the world be in Denmark, I ask myself. The number one spot goes to a restaurant in Copenhagen, Denmark? I don't even know what Danish cuisine is. What is it? I don't even know. Iceberg? I don't even understand what they eat in Denmark. Herring? I looked down the list of the 50 of the world's best restaurants. Do you know that you couldn't get me to eat in any of them for free? Noma, Copenhagen, Denmark, number one. El Bulli in Roses, Spain. The Fat Duck in Bray, England. Now, do you know anybody who would travel to England for the cuisine? It would be like traveling to England for the medical care or the dental care. Or El Cella de Can Roca in Girona, Spain. I can guarantee you that my paella is better than theirs because I will not oversaturate it with butter and things that I wouldn't eat. What I'm getting at is much of this is hype. Mugaritz, Arantaria, Spain. Number six is Osteria Francescana, Modena, Italy. Chicago, Alania, Daniela, New York. Arzak, San Sebastian, Spain. And number 10 is Per Se in New York and down the list. Then you go way down the list and you come to a restaurant here in the Bay Area that a lot of ignoramuses think is so great they can't get in. They put in a reservation and they come back and they ate in the French Laundry in Yountville, California. And now it's number 32 and you ask them, what did you have? Oh, it was unbelievable. It was a five-hour meal. Now, who was going to spend 5 hours for dinner? I don't know what even people, why they would eat like this in this day and age. I mean, I'm not given to that kind of cuisine. I'll give you an example of what I had for dinner last night. Takeout, local Italian restaurant. But I'm talking about the cheaper Italian restaurant. I got a calamari steak, no butter. I got a side. I'm just telling you for a reason I'll get to in a minute. Calamari steak, no butter. Then I got potatoes with it, boiled potatoes and vegetable steamer. And came with it, I wanted a little bad food. So I got their pot roast, which is to die for. It's unbelievable. So I switched back and forth. The angel on my left shoulder said, eat more of the calamari. It's good for your arteries. I took two bites of the calamari, and when my left shoulder's angel wasn't looking, with the right shoulder, I stabbed into the pot roast and had a piece of the pot roast. And I got to tell you something. It was the best meal I've had in years. Now, why would I prefer eating at home, even takeout food, to going to one of the world's 50 best restaurants? A, I can choose my food more carefully. B, I don't have to put up with a snotty waiter who might be diseased. C, I don't have to listen to inane people who just made a fortune somewhere boasting about it. D, I don't have to listen to inane people boasting about something they know nothing about. E, I don't have to smell anybody's perfume. And F, I don't have to listen to screaming children. And most importantly, I can actually speak English in my own house. I don't have to speak to an illegal alien and ask a 50-time senor for a glass of water. Okay, now let's go back to the main story here. Mike in New York, WOR, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. Mike, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation. Gone. He dropped. Okay, we'll go to the next ones. Okay. Austin, Texas. Robert, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I'm one of the, suckers that actually did the immigration legally. I was born in Canada, as was my daughter, and my dad's an American born in San Francisco. It took us about 6 years to actually immigrate to the United States legally. It cost us several thousand dollars. And when I left,
so you did it the wrong way. You should have put on a fake mustache and snuck across the border. Then Janet Napolitano and Al Sharpton would have been on your side.
Well, I guess we were raised.
And you should have had a sombrero, a fake mustache, and cowboy boots. Then the whole U.S. government would have sued for your right to become a U.S. citizen. But you see, you came across the Canadian border legally. That was your error.
Well, you know, I guess we were raised a different way in my...
That's right. Alice in Wonderland is now running in the United States of America. It's all Alice in Underwear Land. Alice in Underwear Bomber Land.
Savage.
Dr. Naif Al-Mutawa of Kuwait. His comic books have captured the imagination of so many young people with superheroes who embody the teachings and tolerance of Islam. After my speech in Cairo, he had a similar idea. So in his comic book, Superman and Batman reached out to their Muslim counterparts. And I hear they're making progress, too.
This is if this were not true, I would say it's beyond anything you can imagine. While we are facing what we're facing in this country, Obama puts together a U.S. Muslim entrepreneurship summit in, of all places, the Ronald Reagan building in Washington, D.C. Listen to clip 22.
We know that over the years, despite all we have in common, the United States and Muslim communities around the world too often fell victim to mutual mistrust. And that's why I went to Cairo nearly 1 year ago and called for a new beginning between the United States and Muslim communities. A new beginning based on mutual interest and mutual respect.
Really? So he chooses a comic book writer from Kuwait as an example of what we in America should be paying attention to. And then he says that he has a summit on entrepreneurship in order for Americans to learn from Muslims how to make money. Listen to clip 24.
Why a summit on entrepreneurship? The answer is simple. Entrepreneurship because you told us that this was an area where we can learn from each other. Entrepreneurship because throughout history, the market has been the most powerful force the world has ever known for creating opportunity and lifting people out of poverty. Entrepreneurship because it's in our mutual economic interest. Trade between the United States and Muslim-majority countries has grown. But all this trade combined is still only about the same as our trade with one country, Mexico. So there's so much more we can do together.
Do you actually believe that this is the reason Obama has put together a U.S. Muslim entrepreneurship summit? Listen to clip 25.
The United States is launching several new exchange programs. We will bring business and social entrepreneurs from Muslim-majority countries to the United States and send their American counterparts to learn from your countries.
Tell me what any American entrepreneur can learn from Egypt. Can anyone listening to this show, in all honesty, tell me that you believe that an American entrepreneur who has ever made any money in any way can learn anything from a Muslim nation? And if so, what would that be? On the other hand, why would Obama be saying he wants to bring businesses and social entrepreneurs from Muslim majority countries into the United States? Look, you can let your mind run wild with this one, but something doesn't make sense with this picture. Nothing that this man does seems to be in America's national security interest. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So let's go back to the border with Mexico. Let's talk about the Arizona law. Let's ask ourselves why a race hustler like Al Sharpton, a man involved in the false charges against Detective Pagonis, where he said that a young black lady had been smeared with feces and raped, when we all know it turned out to be a lie. Why would you believe a word that Al Sharpton says? A man involved in the Freddy's Fashion Market fire? Why would you believe a word that Al Sharpton says? When did Al Sharpton become a national figure who has any authority whatsoever that you should believe he knows what he's talking about and what's for the best interests of the people of Arizona? Moreover, why is Al Sharpton taking the side of illegal aliens rather than the side of American citizens, Hispanic and non-Hispanic, who have had enough with the drug dealings and the killings? Can you explain that to me? Chicago, Doug, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. See, I just wanted to comment. I think this Arizona law is way overrated. If I'm a policeman, I've got my own job to do. I'm not going to be a informer on illegal immigrants. And I think it'll raise awareness of the subject, but I can't see it really being very effective.
No, but listen, it's a tiny baby step toward pointing out that illegal aliens have run wild in our country, and the race hustlers and the illegal alien mobs are furious that anybody has the nerve to stand up to them because they've gotten used to getting away with virtual and literal murder. They have gotten used to crapping and urinating on the American flag. And if anybody says a word to them, they scream racism. And take a look who pops out of the woodwork to agree with them. What's interesting to me is that black people themselves have been mostly affected negatively by illegal aliens, incidentally.
But I'm just saying, if you were a police officer, would you take the time to ask somebody if they were...
No, they're not even allowed to do that. The law says that they have to have a reasonable suspicion about some other crime in order to inquire about their so-called immigration status. So, for example, if they're chasing a drug dealer, I guess after they tackle him, they can ask him if he's a citizen. And that apparently doesn't fly straight with La Raza and the U.S. Justice Department. I guess they're not even allowed to ask him if he's an illegal alien after they catch him selling black tar heroin.
What do they do if they catch him and say, are you illegal? They have to call the immigration office, and they're going to stand there with this guy waiting while somebody else is committing a crime that they're supposed to. That's what they're paid to do.
Do you actually believe that Janet Napolitano is going to send federal agents to support local police?
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't know what the police are going to do with the guy. If they apprehend somebody who says, I am illegal.
Well, maybe we can start a campaign to buy buses for the state of Arizona. Maybe there should be a national campaign to raise hundreds of millions of dollars to buy buses with bars on them so that they and drivers to take them back to their home country, the lovely country that they came from. Maybe that's what we can do. We can start a national campaign to buy buses for Arizona so they can do what the U.S. government is supposed to do.
Exactly what's happening. They're pushing this on to the police officers who already have a job to do, and this should be dealt with by somebody whose job is to enforce that law.
But it is. It's Janet Napolitano's job. She said she's not going to enforce the law. It's the U.S. Justice Department. They said they're not going to enforce the law. They're going to investigate the state of Arizona. Take a look at who's the angriest in the street. Guys who are giving gang signs with their hands, wearing bandanas on their face. Those are Al Sharpton's natural cohorts, I guess. Thank you for the call. Of course the cops are caught in between here. They're the worst. They got it the worst out of this whole picture. Los Angeles, Josh, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Dr. Savage, you just made my point. The bottom line with the Arizona law is it enables police to verify immigration legal status after an infraction. As in, they ran a red light, they have a taillight out, they robbed a Circle K. Has nothing to do with racial profiling.
Absolutely. That's right. They're making it into something it isn't. But why is Al Sharpton jumping into the picture? When did he suddenly become an honorary member of La Raza?
I wish I could tell you that. Obviously, somebody wants to hear what he has to say.
What does it tell you about a U.S. government that had Al Sharpton in the White House? What does it tell you about a president who had Al Sharpton in the White House and has not had World War II heroes in the White House once? What does it tell you about a president who will not have World War II heroes in the White House but has street hustlers in the White House as shock troops? Washington, D.C., Max, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, slightly different perspective on immigration, but I think the liberals have missed something. When an illegal immigrant comes to the United States, he quickly takes on sort of a U.S. style of life. And let's talk carbon footprint. The average American has a carbon footprint of about 20 tons a year. The average person in the world is about 4 tons. So if we have 10 million illegals, that's 160 million tons of carbon footprint. Where's Al Gore on this issue?
Very funny. That's called hanging them by their own petard in a certain way. Of course, I don't know what the carbon footprint would be amongst our friends in Mexico, given the amount of bean product that is eaten. I mean, we have to look into that, don't we? Maybe a higher carbon footprint than in general.
That becomes a scary prospect indeed. But
we'll let it go with that. No, Arizona has had its terrible share of crime and of murder and things of that nature, and they finally did something. And here's the federal government taking the side of the illegal alien. That tells you that they represent not the American people, but I don't know, who do they represent? Who does Obama represent? Who does Homeland Security represent? Who does the Justice Department represent when they're taking the side of the non-citizen and the illegal alien? I think they've made my point, which is that most of the Democrat Party is in power strictly because illegal aliens were used to get them elected over the last 15 years. Do you understand that? Teresa in Arizona, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. I'm calling from Tucson. If the police can't ask an illegal alien for ID after they've stopped them for another offense, why do I have to carry ID? Why did I just pay for car insurance? Have you ever been?
I hear you. Well, I bought a pair of pants at Macy's, and they have a sign that says, "We do ID checks for your safety." You know what I'm saying? I have to show my driver's license, and I have to show my credit card in order to buy anything at Macy's. So, what does that mean? An illegal alien now won't be able to shop? Is that it?
An illegal alien now. Did they just let them go? You know something else? In Tucson, we have red light cameras that get American citizens, Mexican license plates are not tagged because it's too much trouble to follow up and send them a bill. So if you're...
Are you in favor of the law in Arizona?
Yes, I am. I'm looking for work now. I'm an unemployed widow. And illegal aliens, that's just BS that there are jobs Americans won't do. I'll do them, but I don't get a chance because the illegal aliens get them.
I mean, are you saying you, madam? Would you say? Are you saying, Teresa, you would have taken a menial job if it was offered to you?
Yes, I would. I'm working at a temporary job right now. Yes, I would.
Very sad, isn't it? Very, very sad indeed. Thank you for calling the program. I mean, it's really painful to listen to some of these callers. Mexicans in Arizona should carry documentation and act carefully, says Mexico's foreign minister. And he said the warning is directed toward Mexicans living, studying, or planning to travel to the southwestern United States, to Arizona. And he's telling the Mexicans to act carefully and respect the local laws. Well, I don't see any problem with that. The Arizona law now makes it a state crime to be in the U.S. without proper documentation. That's freaking out all of the vermin in San Francisco government. The San Francisco vermin are saying that they're going to boycott Arizona. I would say, oh, my, real loss. I guess the leather parade won't be going around the country and it'll bypass Arizona. I mean, what the hell do the idiots in San Francisco have to do with Arizona anyway? We should have had this law in California a long time ago. Then we'd have less crime. Then we'd have a balanced budget. So don't tell me we don't need it. We need it in every state, for God's sakes. The governor said we cannot sacrifice our safety to the murderous greed of drug cartels. Can you believe that Arizona's governor said this? She said we cannot sacrifice our safety to the murderous greed of drug cartels. We cannot delay while the destruction happening south of our international border creeps its way north. And yet, Homeland Insecurity Secretary Janet Big Sis Napolitano said that her agency had deep concerns about the law. What concerns does she have? And Attorney General Eric Holder said that the Justice Department may go to court to challenge the statute. This is the same Attorney General who will not release any emails regarding the Fort Hood massacre by the Muslim Major Hassan. Arizona, Jeff, you're on the Savage Nation. Your opinion, please.
Hey, Michael, a couple of things. First of all, our president making a statement saying the inaction of the federal government causes the misguided actions of states, and then he offers no solutions. That's why people like Al Sharpton come out of the woodwork. And then our local people here, part of the reason I wanted to be on was to let our people here in Tucson know we have a congressman here who incites all the people that are against SB 1070 and tells them to really rally people all over the country to make sure that they boycott Arizona, and he should be doing everything he can to make people...
Who is this congressman who's taken this position?
Raul Grijalva.
Oh. A real local boy makes good, huh?
Yeah, and he should step down. He should resign from his position based on...
Well, I think that his constituency is pretty clearly composed to a great extent of people who have no right to vote to begin with.
Exactly. And the fact that there's a reasonable suspicion, you know, if there's a 15-passenger van and the wheel wells are not even showing because there's so much weight in it, I think that's reasonable suspicion for a law enforcement official to pull them over.
But you got to ask yourself why the U.S. government would side with drug dealers amongst plain folks coming to work when the government is aiding and abetting the actions of criminals. What does it tell you about the government itself?
It tells us a lot.
And it tells us a very, very sad and dangerous tale indeed. But I say that the governor of Arizona is a hero for having the guts to stand up to the pressure of Obama and Eric Holder and all of the other street hustlers. I'll be right back.
Savage.
All right, so we have Carl Levin, who is the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, who chooses to pick on Wall Street, not on the U.S. Army, with regard to the Fort Hood massacre, covering up for the U.S. Army's failures to stop Major Hassan before he murdered. Instead, he attacks, I would say, mid-level executives at Goldman Sachs. Again, not the top executives. Even if you say there should be investigation, it should have been people at the top, not people in the middle. But the fact of the matter is, none of them will be found guilty. I can guarantee you after all of the hue and cry dies down, it will turn out that there's no way to indict them for a crime because there was no crime. And the reason there was no crime being conducted by anyone at Goldman Sachs is because the laws were changed in order to permit them to engage in this type of dangerous, risky behavior with fiduciary instruments. And the way they were able to do this is that they bought guys like Carl Levin, Claire McCaskill, and the very people who are acting shocked right now to change the rules, to eliminate any controls. So the whole thing is a show trial, and it's an embarrassing one at that. And for Carl Levin to retain a chairmanship like this shows you how far America has fallen. So these are two major topics today, which is the show trial of Wall Street by a man who's really not equipped for the job, Levin, and the Arizona law, which, as we well know, is long overdue. It should be in all 50 states. The only problem is the poor police are going to have to do the job that Job himself could never do. I don't know how anybody could do this job. It's impossible. The fact of the matter is we should have a military presence on the border with Mexico. We should take our troops out of Germany and put them on the border with Mexico. Then we'd have a nation again. But you're never going to see that because internationalists, moreover, international socialists of the Fabian socialist type, have taken over the United States of America. And that is why they're attacking Arizona, because Arizona dares stand up to the hegemony of the emerging socialist world. Arizona, Steve, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hello, Dr. Savage. How are you today? Hello, Dr. Savage?
Yes, go
Hello?
On.
Yes.
Make your point. Don't ask me how I am. You don't know me. I don't know you. This is not a speaker in a car. Please don't ask me how I am. Tell me what's on your mind, Steve. Thank you.
In 1990s, I lived on the border, literally a stone's throw away from it for about 7 years. The first thing I want to point out is here in Arizona, we're not averse to immigrants. We're averse to illegal immigration and the chaos that basically accompanies with it. I can tell you stories personally of having been broken into repeatedly, people in my house at 3 in the morning, people in my house in the middle of the day while my pregnant wife was there. People.
Steve, you don't have to go softly with immigrants with my show. We don't have to preface every statement about illegal aliens with "we really are in favor of immigrants," because I'll be very clear, I'm not in favor of immigrants. America has millions of unemployed people. We don't need any immigrants right now. The only people who want immigrants are people who want them for their own reason. No, it's time to stop the B1, B2 visas. It's time to stop the green cards. We need to catch our breath. We need to make sure that Americans are employed. Then we have to have a long national discussion about what immigrants do we not want. Do we need any immigrants? Okay. Why do we need them? Which countries of origin? Do we need more Africans? Do we need more Chinese? Do we need more Mexicans? Do we need more Irish, more Poles, more Russians? Why can't we have that national debate? Why are we allowing out of control degenerate congressmen to decide for us how our nation will look 30 years from now? Why? Because we have abrogated our own responsibility. Then after we decide what nationality we want, then we have to decide what is their education level. How much money do they need to bring into this country in order for me to permit them into this country? Because I don't want to support them anymore. Do you? You want to go into a hospital where they have to speak with 3 translators? You want to go into a court where they have to hire 3 Spanish translators for a drug dealer? You want to go in a restaurant where you have to speak broken Spanish to get a damn glass of water? I don't want to press 1 for English. I want to press 1 to have them deported.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
going to stay here as long as it takes to get the answers. So there may be a strategy, and I just noticed it about the refusal to give answers, the long delays in those answers, but it's not going to work. We're going to stay here as long as it takes to get this information before the public.
The best things in life are free, but you can keep them for the birds and bees. Now give me more.
That's what I want.
That's what I want.
That's what I want.
The big news today were the hearings into the meltdown of the housing market by attacking Goldman Sachs. I never thought that I'd have sympathy for Wall Street until today. But when I turned on the TV this morning and watched Carl Levin of Michigan looking down his nose at Goldman Sachs executives and viciously smearing them in public, I thought twice. I thought I was watching a Soviet show trial where the person being interviewed was guilty before even appearing on the stand. And then when the disgustingly shrill Claire McCaskill of Missouri began gesturing and screaming at them, I couldn't believe, again, I was living in the United States of America. Now, look, I've been critical of Wall Street in the past, and they deserve criticism, and we need some controls. But when we have low-level executives being dragged before a Soviet-style committee hearing and defamed in public by low-life senators who seem to have just crawled up from the gutter, I say, go, Goldman, go. Carl Levin, the big, brave senator with his glasses at the end of his nose, got up in front of his committee and declared that we're going to stay here until we get the answers. But where is Mr. Levin, the brave chairman of the Armed Services Committee, when it comes to getting answers about the Fort Hood massacre? So far, that phony Levin has blocked any attempts to hold hearings on the Fort Hood massacre. In fact, it came out today that a top al-Qaeda leader in the Arabian Peninsula said he trained the U.S. Major Hassan, the Muslim major, who slaughtered 13 at Fort Hood, as well as the Christmas Day bomber. And that's being covered up by Obama, the Department of the Army, and of course, Carl Levin, the big brave man. Not only that, but Levin used his gutter language to attack low-level Wall Street functionaries all day long. But again, he won't look into the most deadly act of terrorism, the Fort Hood massacre, on American soil since 9/11. And then McCaskill herself. She attacked the Goldman Sachs men with such strange street language about vigorish and vig and bookies that it seems to me, in that she knew so much about bookies and betting and vigorish, that she might have been born in a St. Louis betting shop. I'm cheering for the Goldman Sachs guys. They are financial geniuses and, frankly, no more criminal than Bonnie Frank and the other congressional lowlifes trying to crucify them. Remember, McCaskill was married to a man who was later murdered in his own car. She's also a lifetime political corruption queen. She and others may accuse Goldman Sachs of crooked financial deals, but let me ask you something. Let me ask you about treasury bills, T-bills, the kind of investment that the government puts out. Aren't these a form of financial instrument built on quicksand? The fact is there's no gold backing up T-bills. The fact is that Obama's printing more money than can support the T-bills. So who is the bigger criminal here, the government or Goldman Sachs? The bottom line is that these Goldman Sachs employees may have been working for a system that was inherently rigged, but they were doing their job, which is to make money for their company. It seems that the job of gargoyles like Levin and McCaskill is to take money, not make money. I'm Michael Savage, and I approve of this monologue. Let's listen again to the gutter language of Senator Carl Levin.
Boy, that Timber Wolf was one deal. They sold that deal. How much of that deal did you sell? You didn't tell them you thought it was a deal. You knew it was a deal, and that's what your people knew it was a deal. Does that bother you at all? Your top priority to sell is that deal. Okay, you're trying to sell a deal, and it's your top priority. You're trying to sell a deal. Who did use that term? Who's Tom Manta? Who's Daniel Sparks?
That's me.
Boy, that Timber Wolf was one deal. Is an email, July 3rd, still after the deal.
And it seems like Missouri Senator Claire McCaskill may have been born in a St. Louis betting parlor with her language.
I want to try to continue with the analogy of you all being the house or the bookie. Most people in America understand about a football bet. I've usually bet on MU versus KU because I went to MU and I care about MU. But the line's important. Obviously, if you're going to be a serious bettor, you got to know what the line is. You got to know how many points you're going to get or how many points you're going to give. Depending on whether you're betting in an office pool that's illegal or whether you're betting in Las Vegas, the VIG is going to vary anywhere from 5 to 10%. Generally speaking, and I don't know who the right person is to ask this, what is your VIG, Mr. Sparks, on these deals? What is the VIG you make, assuming all you're doing, not playing in the market, but all you're doing is trying to stay close to home like a bookie would try to do in order to minimize their risk?
Speaking of lowlifes, here's Al Sharpton on Arizona's immigration bill. I guess he's now an honorary member of La Raza.
Reverend Sharpton, there are calls to boycott Arizona, and you are a part of that. Is that the next logical step here to put pressure?
Oh, absolutely. I think that you've got to deal with the fact that when you have a law that profiles people, let's face it, you can say whatever you want. When they're saying there's an enormous amount of people coming across the border from Mexico, they're really saying, therefore, we're going to stop people that look like Mexicans to check their identification.
And Obama's playing the race card, too.
It will be up to each of you to make sure that the young people, African Americans, Latinos, and women who powered our victory in 2008 stand together once again. It will be up to each of you to keep our nation moving forward, to keep working to fix Washington, to keep growing our economy, and to keep building a fairer, stronger, and more just America.
A study links chocolate and depression. This is all on Michael Savage. On the bottom right of Michael Savage, see a tortured bull, gore a sadistic matador. My position, end this barbaric custom of bullfighting. It is an Arab custom introduced into Spain many hundreds of years ago, and it's time we stop torturing these poor innocent bulls. Is Einstein the world's smallest horse? It's a stallion just 14 inches tall and weighs only 6 pounds when he was born Friday. By the way, you should know that the horse evolved from such small creatures known as equus. This is all on michaelsavage.com. All right, I'll be right back.
Savage.
Joining us now with a Savage Nation exclusive is Jack Hunter.
Well, what we're seeing right now with the controversy in Arizona is very interesting. You know, from 1776 onward, we've been the United... Well, 1789 onward, we've been the United States of America when we ratified the Constitution. But when we declared our independence, we became Americans, so to speak. Did being an American mean something? Well, of course it did. As you always say, Michael, language, borders, culture... It means something to be American. It is a finite, precise definition. There are many different definitions, but it does mean something. Well, we've had a tragedy, at least certainly in the last few decades, if not longer, the tragedy of illegal immigration. People coming into this country that shouldn't be here. We have an estimated now today 12 to 20 million illegal aliens residing in this country. What are we going to do about it? Well, constitutionally, it's the federal government's responsibility to take care of citizenship issues, to regulate our borders, better yet, to enforce our borders. But they have not been doing that. We had George W. Bush promising amnesty to these 12 to 20 million illegal aliens a couple years back. Now we have the Obama administration, the Democrats, implying or promising even that they're going to do the same thing. So what are we, real Americans, American citizens, supposed to do about this? Well, in Arizona, they've said they've had enough. Since the federal government will not live up to its constitutional responsibility to enforce the borders and make sure that people in this country are supposed to be here legally, Arizona is saying, well, we're going to let our police officers question people in custody that we suspect of being an illegal alien. Now, the controversy, you see the protests and everything in Arizona, and some people are saying, well, this will be an encroachment upon civil liberties, that you're treating people like animals, this, that, and the other. Well, it's actually nothing of the sort. The federal government, if they were doing their job, immigration officers, ICE, They should be checking the status of people who are in custody for certain crimes. Oh, I don't know, drunk driving, perhaps murder, any crime. Identity theft is a big one. But what we see time and time again, I know I see it here in South Carolina where I live, where illegal aliens will commit some horrible, horrendous crimes. We had an incident here where I live not too long ago where an illegal alien ran into somebody and actually killed them. They had no insurance and was set free. We hear about these stories all the time. We are basically, you know, sitting ducks half the time, we actual citizens of the United States. Well, Arizona is saying, we can't handle this anymore. 600,000 illegal aliens, it's believed to be, are residing in Arizona right now. Governor Jan Brewer, the governor of Arizona, when she signed this recent legislation, said, quote, "We in Arizona have been more than patient waiting for Washington to act, but decades of inaction and misguided policy have created an unacceptable situation."
Exactly.
70% of the citizens of Arizona support this law. Now, why would that be? Does that mean they're all racist and they want to take away people's civil liberties? No. Is this a law where just police can stop people randomly and say, "Let me see your paper, sir," sort of a Nazi-esque thing, as many of the critics seem to be implying? No. This is a basic, fairly tame corrective in Arizona for what the federal government is not doing. It's enforcing and regulating citizenship. If the police catch you for, say, I don't know, drunk driving, perhaps assault and battery, identity theft, and they have an inkling that you might be in this country illegally, well, now Arizona will detain you and try to deport you. That's what the federal government should be doing. And the idea that this is so controversial, that this is, you know, somehow inhumane, is completely ridiculous. What's inhumane is allowing American citizens to be sitting ducks, to be the victims of crimes of illegal aliens. And I'm not saying they're all criminals. Well, they are criminals in the sense that they're illegal by definition, but as far as violent crimes and things like that, I don't think they all are, but that's besides the point. You know, if I had a nice ham in my refrigerator in my house, I wouldn't blame anybody out there for wanting to get a bite of that ham. It might be a good, sweet ham. It still doesn't change the fact that it's my house, my refrigerator, and my ham. You can't blame people for desiring it, but it's mine. It belongs to me. I am sovereign. My house is my own castle, if you will, as the old saying goes.
True.
Well, the same thing is true of a country. If we are to have sovereignty, we should be able to determine who comes into our country and who cannot come into our country. And it only adds insult to injury when people who come into our country commit violent crimes and nothing is done about it. That's what we're seeing time and again, and Arizona is rectifying the situation, and rightfully so. Another interesting aspect of this, Michael, you know, it was just, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago, we saw the Tax Day Tea Party rallies across the country where thousands of people rallied and said, you know, we are offended by this, what we consider unprecedented action of Obamacare, where you're going to have a health care mandate, where you're going to fine people, possibly put them in jail. We don't know yet. Who's going to carry this out? IRS agents? But Tea Partiers had this righteous indignation. They were completely justified, saying, this is unprecedented in American history. The government can't force us to buy health insurance. This is oppression. This is American citizens saying this. How did the media react to those protesters at the Tea Party rallies? Oh, well, they're irrelevant or misguided or worse, racist, possibly domestic terrorists. Now we see these protests in Arizona, where some might be illegal aliens, or certainly those sympathetic to their plight, are saying, this is unprecedented. This is oppressive. Well, no, it's not unprecedented. This is what the federal government should be doing, checking your citizenship. They're not, so Arizona's stepping up and doing it. But what is the media reaction to these protesters in Arizona and Phoenix, like we saw over the weekend? Oh, well, these people are completely justified. They have a righteous grievance. We need to listen to them. Even worse, we saw some actual incidents of violence at these protests in Arizona. I'm sure many of your listeners saw the images on their television screen of the police officer getting pelted with water bottles.
Unbelievable.
Now, I'm not saying that that's like the most violent thing in the world, but if you had to compare that to the Tea Partiers, who Chris Matthews and Paul Krugman and Frank Rich at the New York Times and all these liberals are just certain represent some sort of violent militia uprising, the Tea Partiers I'm talking about, if you compare that to the illegal alien protesters in Phoenix over the weekend, who actually were engaging in some degree of violence, and it's completely excused, you see that liberal double standard that always applies.
Right, right, right.
And let's go a step further with this, and let's face it. And this is not racist to say this. Everybody's saying this law must be racist. Well, you know, if 70 or 80% of the illegal aliens are Mexican, of course there's going to be a racial factor. That doesn't mean that it's explicitly racist. But as far as the liberal media is concerned, let's face it. if a bunch of middle-class, everyday, working white people get together and protest Obamacare, well, it must be racist. It must be something sinister, seeping up from the grassroots, the second coming of the Ku Klux Klan, if you will. But when minorities protest, there were a lot of Hispanic protesters out there in Phoenix, Arizona, not only are they not dismissed, but they're automatically justified in their grievances. The liberal media says, well, they must have something to complain about. It must be something we have to look at because they're minorities. It gives you a pretty good indication of how the elites look at the rest of us out there. If whites are upset about something, they must be racist. If minorities are upset about something, well, they must be right. That's a big difference. And it's sad that that's the way things are. I think it's also important, Michael, that we keep in a good perspective just how serious and damaging the problem of illegal immigration is in America.
Why is that?
I mentioned there's 12 to 20 million illegal aliens in this country, we're estimating. I've heard even some estimates higher than 20 million. We don't know because, once again, they are illegal. We have 600,000 illegal aliens in Arizona, which is a hell of a lot of people. It's also worth noting that more Americans have died at the hands of illegal aliens than Al-Qaeda.
No.
We send troops all over the world fighting a somewhat vague war on terror. I don't even know what that means half the time. I don't know why we're in Afghanistan. President Obama's escalating it there. I think you've asked that question a few times yourself, Michael. We wonder about that, but what we do know is that illegal aliens are killing Americans. Violent crime perpetrated by illegal aliens against citizens of the United States. Is our government concerned about that? No. There needs to be a war on illegal immigration as much, if not more, than the war on terror, because we are being terrorized on a regular basis.
Thanks for the report, Jack.
Well, Michael, I certainly appreciate you having me on this evening, and for this and more, you can find all my stuff at SouthernAvenger.com. Once again, Michael, I appreciate it.
I'll be right back.
Savage.
Joining us now with an exclusive update is Robert Scott Bell.
Thanks again, Michael. Always great to be back with the Savage Nation audience. And this week is all about free speech, and you are a champion for free speech. And you've been attacked right, left, and center over the many years you've been on the air, Michael. And I think it's high time that we acknowledge the attack that's coming from within. As you've talked and written so eloquently about the enemy within, we have, of course, a couple of guys, cartoonists, Trey Parker and Matt Stone, the South Park guys, and, of course, they are equal opportunity offenders. They offend everybody. I mean, this is, you know, this is what they do. They're very libertarian-leaning guys, and they happen to dress up Muhammad in a bear suit, and, of course, it offended a lot of the Muslims out there, and, well, evidently, they may have translated into some death threats and censorship. And I am upset about the fact that somebody would get a death threat simply for utilizing their First Amendment for all it's worth, because we do not have a right to not be offended. It's okay. This is part of what the First Amendment free speech is all about. Offensive speech is protected. You don't have to listen. Turn it off. But we have something even more offensive, in my opinion, Michael.
What now?
That is the attacks on the First Amendment from within. That's right. The enemy within. Coming from our own government, the Federal Trade Commission, the FTC, the Federal Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, attacking us. And where is the outrage? Of course, as we share the outrage of those those that are being attacked and those that are doing the attacking in the case of the South Park episodes. But what about those small family farmers we've been talking about for many months here on the Savage Nation? For God's sake, all they're doing is producing milk as God created it from a cow and wanting to, you know, get it out to their community. And you've got the FDA coming in and saying, well, based on interstate commerce, right? They use the interstate commerce clause for everything. Anything that could eke its way to, you could spill some milk across state lines, they're coming after it. Oh, it wasn't pasteurized? I'm sorry. We're going to have to take you to jail, confiscate all your cows. Where is the outrage of our own people here in America against the government that would alienate us, that would criminalize us, simply because we want to eat food the way it's been grown, unprocessed, not modified by genetic engineers, and not synthesized in a factory. We simply want organic, whole, unprocessed, unpasteurized milk. It's written about in the Bible. That's how they drank it. And if you don't want to, you don't have to. But the federal government, in collusion with many state agricultural authorities, do not want you to have the freedom to access food that has been unadulterated.
Exactly.
And of course, if you claim, as we talked about here as well, that cherries can reverse gout and rheumatism and arthritis, you now become criminals. The cherries become unapproved new drugs, not recognized generally as safe and effective. For what? As we've talked about, oranges curing scurvy. No, we can't say that because that makes oranges drugs that are unapproved by the federal government. Where is the outrage that our own government would attack our own people, our own farmers, the backbone, the heart of America? Without them, it's all over. And of course, we know about factory farming and factory food and how it's degrading the nutrient content within it, and they're throwing all kinds of things that were never intended to be put in food or anywhere, and they're calling it food. Where is the outrage? The federal government is running a protection racket for the drugs and vaccines of Big Pharma rather than protecting us from those attacks. The freedom to choose them, the freedom to not choose them. That is fundamentally an American ideal, and believe me, an ideal that goes beyond that to the creator of creators, that we were granted free will and the freedom to choose. And I believe that the government's attack on these people, these farmers, much like the attack on Trey Parker and Matt Stone of South Park, is unconscionable, certainly blatantly unconstitutional for the government to go in there and suppress speech this way. But again, you know, being banned in Britain, what governments are willing to do to turn their state into a nanny state, into a Big Brother state.
Right, right, right.
And we got Big Brother, we got Big Sister, we got Big Mommy and Big Daddy operating when it comes to food. And then they went after the walnuts because, oh my gosh, the distributor, Diamond Distributor, they had the audacity to post on their website that there's gamma linoleic acid, GLA, in their nuts. And of course, at that point, you can prevent heart disease, for instance. And of course, the scientific peer-reviewed journals supported it. That's what they referenced. But the moment they referenced it, walnuts became an unapproved new drug, generally not recognized as safe and effective, and therefore the FDA says, you can't sell them. We're coming after you. We'll seize them. We will fine you. You continue. You may be imprisoned. And the FTC is the attack dog in this case with the big guns to fine people simply and companies simply for speaking the truth about these things. And another interesting story, we've talked about ear candles. Granted, not a lot of people know about ear candles. They've been used for perhaps hundreds of years in different forms. Some have called them Indian cones. They are not to remove earwax. It isn't about everybody having or wanting to do that. But why not defend everybody that wants to utilize them safely? People haven't been dying from ear candles. And yet the same day we find out that the FDA went on attack, sent out warning letters to all of the manufacturers of ear candles. Again, a little industry that is thriving, that's doing well because people talk to people, they get results, they talk to them, they say, hey, okay, sounds good. And of course, that same day, we learned that the FDA was set to approve a new vaccine by Wyeth for ear infections.
Hmm.
And I ask you, Michael, you know so well from the books you've written on a natural healing, on supplements, on botanicals, is there ever in recorded history been a pandemic ear infection? Yes, the pandemic ear infection of 1919. No, it's never happened. There's not a pandemic ear infection. Why do we even need vaccines for ear infections? When most doctors worth their salt will tell you that most of them are self-limiting and don't even need antibiotic interventions. And of course, those that want to know about options to address these things by dietary shifts, by using natural botanicals to strengthen immune system, to correct the terrain issue within the ear, with ear candles, for instance, are branded as criminals, doing something so horrific and so horrendous that it takes the full force of the federal authorities acting by fiat, in my opinion, to subject people in America, unknowingly or knowingly, to make them chattel or basically slaves to a medical industrial complex. This is the danger of big government that goes unnoticed largely, even in talk radio, except here on the Savage Nation. That our own government is attacking the freedom to heal, the freedom to know the truth, that there are other ways to go beside that which is sanctioned and approved by government, by FDA, which in fact is a culture of death, where hundreds of thousands of Americans are dying every year because they misplaced their faith. They put their faith in the church of biological mysticism as approved by government. instead of the healing methods of nature, of creation. And hey, look, the freedom to choose either. That's a good thing. Who will stand up for the freedom to speak the truth about natural healing? Will it ever be restored? How about the freedom to act on that truthful information? As I said, the federal government running a protection racket for the drugs and vaccines of Big Pharma. I will defend your right to choose them should you want them, but a monopoly is not an American ideal. And as long as the people put up with it, Michael, the FDA, the FTC, these government alphabet soup agencies will continue to eat out our substance, leaving us an empty shell, and then we become dependent upon the whims of faceless bureaucrats for our medical sustenance. Think Obamacare. And then nutrition will be outlawed unless synthesized and approved by the state.
Unbelievable.
We are not here in the Savage Nation, a bunch of wussies and wimps that were willing to put up with that. FDA unapproved radio, we need more of that. And I thank you, Michael, for being a place where liberty still reigns in media, where this message is getting out. We don't have to like the message of South Park. You don't have to watch it. You don't have to like natural medicines, natural remedies, or even my message. But defend to the death the freedom to offer it, to access it, to act on it, to know the information, and utilize that information to better without force or fraud, which is the exclusive domain at this point of the United States Incorporated, the federal government, which has gone into bed with global corporations that have no allegiance to any nation or state, least of all the people here in these United States.
Well, thanks for the report, Robert.
Thanks again, Michael. Always good to be with you on the Savage Nation. It's an honor and a privilege to let loose on this message of liberty and health freedom. Those of you who want to learn more can check out my blog at robertscottbell.blogspot.com or just search engine my name. You'll find me. Thanks again.
I'll be right back.
Savage.
Okay, here's what's on michaelsavage.com. The Obama budget chief explains how rationing will be a part of Obamacare. Rationing of health care, exactly what we've been warning you. Desperate Obama throws race cards into the game. Incredible article. You absolutely have to read it from the Washington Times by one of our most distinguished journalists, and that's Wes Pruden. And he said, "It's time to play the race card, Obama. Race baiting never goes out of style. Only the races and the baiters change. Drawing the race card is nearly always a sign of desperation, as any number of old white politicians could tell you if they were not all dead." But he said now Obama is doing what the old Southern crackers used to do. He said those old days are mercifully behind us, but now Barack Obama wants to join the sordid ranks of the race hustlers like the Revs Jess Jackson and Ali Sharpton. If not necessarily the race baiters, maybe there's only a small distinction between hustling and baiting. But once the toxic stuff is let loose, it doesn't matter what you call it. And that is all about the fact that the DNC knows they're in trouble. And they know that the numbers do not look good for November. And so the president wants young people, African Americans, Latinos, and women to come out and vote for him. Notice he left out white people and white males. Maybe some of you white people and white males will find out you're not a friend of the White House. Have you figured that out yet? Did you're their target? Or you don't know about that because you're too ashamed to admit that you were possibly elected a racist for the president. Are we allowed to say that yet? I wonder. 60% of voters in Arizona favor the Arizona law. Did you hear that? That includes illegal aliens who were polled by it. 60%. U.S. Marines, what a wonderful organization it's become under Obama. They've told a candidate, a former Marine, to hide his service from political ads because they oppose Obama. That's right. He can't wear his uniform in a political ad. Isn't that wonderful? What about racial profiling? Well, the underwear bomber is shown training to kill Jews and Christians. That's being covered up by your friend Obama. Take a look at him in his training class firing weapons at a desert camp, including firing at a Jewish star. Why do Jews vote for Obama? We don't know. What does the underwear bomber have to do with Obama? Oh, an awful lot. They gave them Miranda rights when he was caught. We can't get any information from him. They're treating him like a common street criminal instead of a terrorist. We are in trouble. Now, speaking of Obama's tricks, healthcare costs, a report was put out before the bill was submitted that shows that this new reform law would actually greatly increase costs and lower care, but it was hidden by none other than the head of HHS. How do you like that for transparent government? The FTC is trying to gain enforcement power over the internet. I thought Nancy Pelosi believed in freedom of the press. That's what she told the children of journalists last week. Is China harvesting organs from religious dissidents from the Falun Gong? Really? Yes, also taking organs from Tibetans, house church Christians, and Muslim Uyghurs. You didn't know any of that? You thought China was your friend, you stupid moronic liberals, you? China accused of vast trade in organs. Harvests come from religious dissidents. But then again, pardon me, I have it wrong. I guess that would please the ACLU. So for lunch, I'm walking around my favorite neighborhood. I walk up Broadway, past the strip clubs. I look in one store after the other. There's the Afghani restaurant. That's a joke unto itself. Everything, I have a comment in my head. I pass the tattoo parlor, comment in my head. I look in, tattoo, comment. Next, I pass the Afghani restaurant out of business. So they move to another. I never went to an Afghani restaurant. Why do I want to eat like old lamb, whatever? I can roll them up in a carpet. Next stop, bad pizza. The worst pizza in America is on Broadway. I don't know what it's a front for. I would never eat pizza. It looks like yellow with mice in it. Next, you walk up the street. You come to the hostel, and you see the Euro trash. The superb creatures from Europe. And remember the Euro trash was a popular word you were allowed to use for a while, a phrase? That went out of now it's like a Mero trash. According to Obama, we're a Mero trash, and the Euros are the hero. How did it become that the Europeans are like something to look up to? Where'd that come from? I mean, individually, they're going to be nice, nasty, but what do you mean Europeans? Well, what's that all about? Their culture? Just take a look at some of the Europeans outside the hostel. You'll see what culture is. You never saw such misshapen people with knapsacks in your life. Who would go to a hostel? I don't understand that in this day and age. You're either going to get raped or you're going to get herpes or AIDS laying in there. What are you going in there for? You're better off in a state-controlled flop house than a hostel. A girl alone with a knapsack from Denmark in a hostel in San Francisco, a rape job or a herpes? One or the other. What is she doing here, I ask myself. What are they looking for? You look at these kids, some of them are like 40-year-old pervs, you know, they're still in the hostels figuring they're going to get lucky with someone from Denmark. And maybe they do. I don't know. They travel the world. I don't know what they're looking for. But you look at a kid, 20, 25, they're traveling. All right, I did it. I did it. So what are they looking for? They're looking for a romance? I don't know. Or they're looking for adventure? What adventure? What adventure can you have in the modern world other than getting mugged or raped? What adventures lie out there anymore in this homogenized world where you go to China and they look like the people from Brooklyn? Well, you go to Russia, they look like the people from San Francisco. Everyone's wearing the same garbage clothing. No pressed pants, T-shirts. Everyone looks disheveled. Everyone looks disheveled. No one looks right. What is the I'm asking myself. In other words, let's go back to... All right, you start to sound cranky. All right, so I'm cranky. So let's go back to when I traveled. What was I looking for? Adventure or romance. And I found both. But then I realized that travel unto itself is a bore and a waste of time. Travel for travel's sake has to be about the most boring waste of energy known to mankind. So I decided that I had to do something useful if I ever were going to travel again because I've always hated travel. I'm a homebody, right? So I spent many years going to the most exotic islands on Earth to collect medicinal plants, and I did very good scientific research. But it was travel with a meaning. Otherwise, I never would have been there. I hated the place, actually. So I've just painted a picture for you. If you want to talk about art, you want to talk about science, you want to talk about Danish women in hostels. So then I continue on my walk up Broadway. So I decided to have a power lunch in the cheapest Chinese joint that I know on Broadway, where they throw the food at you in their hostel. They look like a combination of a Pol Pot and Ho Chi Minh in this restaurant. Really nasty, particularly to Caucasians. Nasty and mean. But I like the place. I've been eating there for 20 years. They still don't know me. It's an amazing fact. I mean, I guess all white men look alike. They know me. I go 20 years I've been in and out of the place. Anyway, I get the lunch plate. I can't believe they can still turn out a meal like this for like $5. I had the calamari and rice. The rice was horrendous. I never even had bad rice in my life till today. I don't know how rice could be bad. It was horrible rice. Disgusting. Maybe I'm into a day of self-abuse. I enjoyed every bite of the column. I loved it. I felt like the revolution had come. I was poor, totally poor again, and eating in the same places I ate in 30 years ago. And guess what? Nothing ever went wrong in these slop joints. And then, wait, here's the interesting part. So you walk through Chinatown in San Francisco, and I go next door. I mean, I told you, the minute I eat, I'm looking for the next meal. I look in the next place, a dim sum place, all local Chinese. I can't believe it. Three pieces of shrimp dumplings for like $1.60. Then I go to the next joint, and it's full. And lunch plates are like $2.95, $3. You know, like pork guts over rye. I don't know what's in it. Chicken egg foo young. I don't know what. Whatever they threw together over rice, $3. Now, when I was young, I used to eat here all the time in these places. I took the kids here all the time. They grew up on cheap peasant food. And to this day, we all still love the same cheap peasant food. So what is that telling you? It's telling you something. It's telling you nothing. It's telling you that the man talking to you can ride on a donkey or he can ride the limo. I can fly Southwest or I can fly in a private jet. It's all the same to me. I'm indifferent to it all. Michael Savage broadcasting to 400 or so radio stations, 380, 375, 400, who can count, on MPLS, multi-protocol label switching devices. That's what I want.